Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my love.
Hello, my honey. Hello, my baby.
Babe, we're in L.A.
Oh, I feel so good. Sorry to those of you at home in the snow.
Back together again. Mm-hmm. We got the gang back together.
Oh, sweet little sleepy Rose on the couch behind me.
Rose hanging out. We're in a weird little eclectic Airbnb. Mm-hmm. In Venice Beach or Marina Del Rey. Are they the same fucking thing? Venice and Marina Del Rey? Or
I think Marina Del Rey is literally the area around the marina.
Oh.
And then, but it's kind of on the, I want to say, south end of Venice from what it looks like on a map. But I say Venice. I think we're in Venice. This is all generally considered to be Venice.
So we're in Venice. And I am 5 minutes away from going straight into a coma because it's been such a long travel day. No. How's your trip going? You've been driving in a van, living in a van with your sweet beau.
Yeah.
And that sweet dog.
Yeah. The van life thing is really great, actually.
Hashtag van life.
Hashtag van life. We drove across the country. So it's January 16th when we're recording this.
Yeah.
That's a Thursday, so like
I've been 32 for 11 days.
11 days of 32.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
I feel old.
Do you?
First year ever, yeah. Anyway, that we're neither here nor there. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Yeah, so Todd and I drove across the country. We left on like December 9th, and so we've been on the road for over a month.
Jeez,
Just got into the sunshine like 3 days ago, which is transformed the living experience in the van, let me tell you.
Man, I'm telling you, you good thing too, because where you were
is buried in snow.
Buried in snow? Dude, fuck the snow. Do you know how cold it is like across the western side of the country right now? It's like negative 41 in Calgary today.
Oh my god.
There's like some sort of Arctic polar vortex shit
going
on.
So we finally, the van doesn't have a block heater. I don't even know what that is until...
I definitely know what that is.
We bought one, but we didn't install it, and then...
Did you? And you had to put it into the flux capacitor and make sure that the plimbus is connected. You know what? We'll save that for the...
That's
the,
really over my head.
It's too manly. It's just manly shit. Whatever.
It's interesting, though. I'd love to circle back and touch on the roles, like the masculine, feminine, like the heteronormative roles.
Should we save that for a conversation with Jamie?
Yeah, no, yes, we'll talk about. I am so excited for the conversations we're going to have this week.
Yeah, so literally, I landed today. You drove in yesterday.
We're all over the map. Oh,
we're all over the map. And we are here for 5 days.
Yeah.
And then I fly home and you drive even further south.
To Mexico.
And while we're here in these 5 days, we're jamming in like fucking 11 episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
For those of you who, like, you know, have never podcasted before, for us, two is like kind of a lot of...
Two episodes in a day.
Of a lot of head work.
Yeah. Three episodes in a day is like you're maxing out,
and
for
then
sure.
We have one day on the strip where we have four.
That's going to be...
Interviews.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Conversations.
I'm
so psyched about all of our guests. I'm really excited.
And that's the thing. When they're awesome guests, it's awesome. Yeah. Early days of Sick Boy, we did a Toronto trip and we did 5 recordings a day for 3 days straight. We realized after that we'll never do that again.
Yeah.
But man... One of the most memorable experiences of my life.
You got to live and learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am excited. We got some really amazing guests lined up. There's some people that live down here in LA that just have some interesting stories and interesting stuff to share.
Interesting jobs.
And we're, you know what? We're going to come back here because there's other people that we want to have on the show that
We
didn't get to do this time, but we most certainly are going to try to make it happen at some point.
Man, I am like, my mouth was... I have notes here in my book for questions to ask John Wineland.
Oh, yeah?
But he unfortunately was not available this week.
Right. Well, cool. So we're here. We made it.
I want to tell you about the block heater.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we didn't have one. Yeah. So what it does is when you are in deep sub-zero temperatures, you plug your fucking block heater into a house.
Oh, yeah.
Keeps your engine from freezing whatever.
It's because when you go like up to Edmonton and shit, people's cars just like have a plug sticking out of their engine.
Yes.
And it's like totally normal.
Not even up to Edmonton, like Thunder Bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anywhere like up there.
Yeah.
So Thunder Bay is pretty Sault Ste. Marie. Far north, I'd say.
Is it as far north as Edmonton?
Yeah, man, I'd say. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. It was, I'll tell you, our vehicle did start in Thunder Bay, but it did not start in Winnipeg. Right. And it was minus 30 at the time. So we got towed to a garage where we'd park it. All that we could do was park it inside until it warmed up.
Oh my God.
Because it's diesel, so the diesel gels up and then doesn't like
run.
But I'm learning. And then we got stranded for a couple of days on the east side of the Rockies because of like a storm in the Rockies. And that was wild. But I just wanted to say that I was kind of documenting it on my personal Instagram.
At Bridie McLean.
Yeah. And so many listeners of the show reached out at one point or another. There's literally like, too many people to name.
Come fuck me.
No, I don't get messages like that. Remember? I don't get messages like that. But the messages I do get, I appreciate way more than I would appreciate that message, which is like, hey, I'm in Winnipeg. If you're stuck, you know, let me know.
Isn't that the best
people
thing?
People offered us a place to stay.
Yeah.
A listener sent me money for a tank of gas.
Wow.
Right?
Man,
so many.
We have such awesome listeners.
The only reason I'm not mentioning anyone by name is because I don't have the full list of everyone.
Right.
But I would love to, I'll compile that list of helpful people and give you a shout out.
Well, that's very sweet. It's so cool.
It meant the world to me.
It revives my hope in humanity because the world is coming to an end, it feels like. I've been feeling really bummed out lately about the world.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to hear that people did that, because it's really sweet.
Are you talking about the people, or are you talking about the planet, or are you talking about everything?
Just fucking all of it, man. I'm like, I'm just bummed out. Like Trump is a huge bummer. This whole thing with Iran is bumming me out. That plane that got shot down made me cry. I've watched way too many videos of dead koala bears and fucking kangaroos and
in Australia.
Yeah, that shit was bumming me big time, bumming me out. And I had to check out for a bit and get away from all of that kind of stuff. So I spent a little bit of time just like out of the city and at a cottage that was very graciously given to me by a very close friend. And
he gave you a cottage?
No, he let me stay at his very, very beautiful cottage solo. And it was the first time I solo tripped. Did some LSD, fair amount of it, by myself.
You can follow this cottage on Instagram.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can follow like every cottage on Instagram.
Really?
Oh yeah, man. It's.
If you want to know where Jeremy spent his weekend recovering from the trauma of the planet,
of the world,
check it out at the Hull House.
The Hull House. Yeah, you can. Yeah, if you want to book a fucking getaway for yourself
in Nova Scotia,
at
right?
_Hull, like the hull of a ship, _house. I hope that's okay, Jeff, that I just threw that on there. But yeah, it was beautiful. I stayed there by myself to get some writing done and to kind of check out, to unplug a bit. And it was really nice. And a lot of introspection. And goddamn psychedelics. They really are great. Which, we'll probably get to that. But speaking of Australia, did you hear about this, Bride?
What?
About the Instagram model, or not the Instagram model, I don't think she's a porn star. She's Kaylin Ward. I think she's a, what's that website that people use now? God, why am I, I'm so fucking fried.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Only fans.
Okay.
I should know this because I've like all of my friends use it or on it.
Only fans.
Yeah. Can you look it up?
Yeah. Only fans.
I'm so tired. .com from this flight.
Only fans is a. Oh, I don't know. This looks cool. A social media service based. Build relationships and provide exclusive content to their subscribers or fans.
That's it. OnlyFans, a lot of like sex workers use it. A lot of cam girls use it.
Oh, cool.
And this young lady, who I believe is on OnlyFans, but also is on Instagram, she was feeling for the Australian folks. She was feeling for those animals. And so she started to raise money by sending nudes for $10. And all of the proceeds of that $10 for a nude would go towards the fires in Australia.
Okay.
Guess how much money she raised in a very short period of
time. What's her name? Tell me.
Her name is Kaylin Ward, W-A-R-D, K-A-Y-L-E-N-W-A-R-D.
Kaylin Ward.
20 years old, is now calling herself the Naked Philanthropist.
Oh, God.
On social media. The Los Angeles influencer. Oh, my God, she lives here.
Oh,
find her. An online sex worker was recently looking at coverage of the fires in Australia and wondered how she could help. I was seeing all these posts on Twitter about Australian fires, and I was really concerned there wasn't a lot of media coverage and not a lot of people donating, she told BuzzFeed News. That's when she had an idea. Ward? How do you pronounce that?
Ward.
Ward. Already sells nude photos online, so why not do it for charity? On January 3rd, she tweeted that anyone who sent proof that they donated at least $10 to a list of Australian charities would get a nude photo of in their DMs. So they had to show proof that they actually made a donation. The tweet took off with more than 40,000 retweets, and Ward's inbox was soon flooded. I was expecting to raise maybe $1,000, but the tweets blew up, she said. She's now hired a team of four people to help her sort through the thousands and thousands of DMs. And she ended up raising somewhere close to $700,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, at $10. Okay, wait. How many nudes does she have to send?
If it's $10 per nude, then 700,000 divided by 10. No, is that? Yeah.
Yeah, if people That's only it. Sent 10, they may have sent.
Oh, there was one gentleman that made like a, it was something like a, it was like a $5,000 donation.
So does he get $5,000 worth of $10 notes?
I don't know how that worked, actually. I heard that on the radio the other day.
Her Instagram is.
Well, she got deactivated. So Instagram shut her down.
Okay, but she's still here.
Is she back up?
Yeah, I'm looking at her right now.
Oh, because it was all over the news that she got basically taken down from Instagram. Is it the Naked Philanthropist on Instagram?
No, it's just Kaylin Ward.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of false accounts that are up now.
Oh, and, yeah, it hasn't been verified or anything.
Yeah, and they are not her.
Philanthropist nude?
The Naked Philanthropist.
Oh, yeah. Naked...
Yeah, so she raised a buttload of money, $700,000 according to Global News.
Wow, there are a ton of accounts.
Yeah, and they're all fake. They're all fake now. Because Instagram just basically stepped up and was like, fuck no.
No thanks. Yeah, you don't get to have it anymore.
Isn't that crazy though?
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money raised.
20 years old.
So that's kinda nice. She tweeted something like, I lost my Instagram, my family disowned me, and the boy I like won't talk to me anymore, but it was all worth it.
My family disowned me.
Yeah.
You know what? I rewatched Big Little Lies, both seasons, with my oldest friend on the planet, in the whole world, Jodie mm-hmm. Hawkins. She and I, we met when we were in grade four, and we've been friends ever since, and I haven't seen her in like 3 or 4 years. She lives in British Columbia now. And when I drove across the country, I ended up staying with her for like a full week. Got to connect with her and one of my other oldest best friends, Amy Blanding, who has a new album out. Anyway, we watched Big Little Lies, and there's that scene in the
What's
first
Big
season.
Big Little Lies again?
It's the one.
It's a show.
It's set in Monterey, California. And it's Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Witherspoon.
Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern,
yeah.
And the girl's name that is a little bit different that I can never remember. She's such a great actress. What's her?
Sigourney? That girl? The
no,
one? The Irish girl?
No.
What's her
name? No. I'm thinking of Sigourney Weaver.
No, not Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney.
No, what's that? What's that young?
Shailene Woodley.
Oh yeah. Who's the girl from Little Bird? Lady Bird.
Oh, how do you pronounce her name? Like,
it's like Sigourney Weaver. They know
it. It's yeah, something like that.
Actually, that's more like a Scandinavian. She's definitely like, well, she's Irish, isn't she?
Her name is spelled S A O I R S E.
Oh, Shroyser.
I don't know how you pronounce that.
Shroyser.
Okay, let's not do this because I can only type so quickly and I'm all over the map here. Anyway, there's a scene in Big Little Lies.
This is a horrible episode for us to get back to.
Oh my God. The daughter is selling her virginity online.
Oh, interesting.
To raise money for Amnesty International.
Oh, very cool.
What do you think about that?
I think the concept of virginity is a fucking stupid concept.
Right. Okay.
It's a construct, man.
Yeah, but...
It's just... We just made it up, man.
But, that being said...
But that's a great idea. Dude, if someone was like, I'm going to sell my virginity to raise money for the Australian fires...
Yeah,
I bet you if it was a I don't know, any kind of pretty person, they would probably raise, I don't know, what do you think a hot person's virginity is going for fundraising purposes?
Wait, hang on. How much can You probably virginity. Well, it happened once.
You probably make a lot of money.
Don't you remember that in the headlines?
No.
Oh, really? Okay, wait. Selling.
Fuck off.
Virginity.
For fundraising? Or just to sell to make money?
I think it was just teen reveals aftermath of selling her virginity online. This is from 2009.
Yeah, but did she do it for a good cause or for her wallet?
She auctioned her virginity on a German website.
That sounds
$13,000.
Like, hey, that's no small chunk of change.
You will be moved to hear that she did indeed enjoy it. She was flown to Venice.
Beach, LA.
She lives right around the corner now.
Yeah, that was sure. Whatever, that's cool. But I'm talking to make change, to raise money,
right?
Because that's cool.
Well, I'll sell my virginity online for
fuck
to make change.
Me too.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag. Don't think that's how it works.
It's the next Me Too movement of.
Can women. I get a hymen? Can I get a hymen installed somewhere and do that?
I don't think that's how that works.
Can I sell my anal virginity?
Sure,
dude.
I bet you I could. I'm sure you could.
Get shaved up, real shaved up, like a.
No, you want to wax.
Yeah, we'll
get shaved up.
Whatever, wax
what are you talking
up.
About? Nobody wants a sharp, jabby butthole.
I'm still a cute little, twinky little boy, aren't I?
Yeah.
For 32.
I would say.
All right. So Becca left. Becca's in the Great White North.
And now you're auctioning your butthole.
Well, no. What I was gonna say was Becca left, and I got really sad. So for people that don't know, you're on a 5 month road trip, and right around the time you were like, I'm leaving, Becca was like, oh, my girlfriend was like, oh, I'm leaving too. I'm going to Yellowknife for a year for work. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, what am I gonna do with my life? So she left, and I got really sad when I dropped her off at the airport. Not seeing her leave, but seeing Lido walk into the airport with her, I got really upset.
Oh, dogs.
Because I was like, I can text Becca, I can Skype with Becca, I can play this board game that we really love. Like, we just bought the online version. We can play that together online.
Oh, cool.
And we can feel really close. But, like, Lido?
Like, you have no way to be close to him.
No, he doesn't know I'm on Skype. Dogs do not get Skype. They don't hear your voice the same way. Like, there's something missing in the resonance of your voice.
Yeah.
Where they just don't know you're there. At least maybe. All the dogs I've known.
Yeah.
So I got really sad about that. And then I started I was like, oh my God, am I not going to have sex for is this going to be the longest that I won't have sex ever since I've started having sex?
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like freaking out about that. And then again, like turning 32 right around that time and feeling old, and I threw my back out too.
Mm.
Man, there's been a lot since you left.
You're falling apart.
Yeah, life fucking sucks. So, I don't know what's going to happen over the next little bit.
Well, do you and Becca, have you discussed what that looks like the long distance thing?
Yeah, we're like fully open.
Still fully open.
Yeah, still fully open and like open to explore and see and date other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm joking. I'm sure I'll have sex again very soon.
Yeah.
God, I hope. But also, I've been I've heard from a couple people recently, especially talking to people, like trying to get people to hop on the podcast with us, and them talking about their experience of like being celibate for like a year,
yeah,
abstinence for a year, but not to their, not on purpose,
not to their knowledge,
not to their knowledge, and then they wake up a year later and they're like, oh my God,
nothing is to their knowledge.
Where was I? And I kind of got like a little panicky about it and being like, oh my God, could that be me?
It's interesting the whole, like, you know, for those of us who like sex and want to have sex, one of the big questions in my mind these days is like about libido, because I feel like there's probably a lot of fake news out there about libidos, bad research, bad science about like what is, you know, because everyone's trying to fix, in quote, like sexual problems where they're like, you know, coming out of new relationship energy, we don't have sex as much, yeah, you know, yeah. And like you hear that
all the time.
And like there's not a ton of information out there for people who are like, you know, people want to know what's wrong with my libido, or can I increase my libido, or can I, you know, can I decrease my partner's libido or whatever. But I don't know if libido is like, I don't like, libido is not like a set thing. Like it's like, oh, they don't have much of a libido. It's like, but maybe if you had changed certain lifestyle things, like maybe if you weren't so stressed, you might have more of a libido.
Yeah.
Maybe if you were like more in touch with your body, you would have more of a quote libido, because like, I don't think libido seems like this like out there, intangible, like concept.
Yeah. But I'm on just a
sex
just
drive.
Just also
in
like
quotes.
Dive in there. There's also that spectrum of like sexuality. So like there's people that are just
asexual, yeah.
Right? And that just don't have like,
but
is that libido? Like, is someone who's asexual just someone who has no libido?
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
No.
And we're going to have the opportunity to ask some people this week.
Right.
About that
specifically.
For
okay.
Sure.
Yeah, interesting. Cause I've never actually thought about it that way.
Yeah.
I don't, that wouldn't make sense to me. I think
it doesn't make any sense. Right.
No, and but like, the libido thing does though, to me, it does.
What is libido? Where does it live?
Well, it's like, it lives in your dingle dangle. In your joigles.
Your joigles?
So jellicle.
I like joigles because they're joy.
Did you watch Cats? Did you go see Cats yet?
No, did you?
No.
I didn't think so. No. You're not going to go see Cats.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yes, I am. Have you read the reviews for Cats?
I haven't read it. Did you read about this anaconda penis?
Can I read you?
That was, that the actor's penis was photoshopped out of the movie because it's too big?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
heard about that?
Idris Elba, I think. Idris Elba?
I'm just going to say
why can't I remember anything today? I'm such an idiot.
Okay, wait. I'm just putting Anaconda Cats. No, that didn't work. Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Jason
for sure.
Derulo.
Oh, Jason Derulo. Dude, he's got a huge cock.
Well, I looked at pictures of it.
No, his hog is massive.
I looked at pictures of it on the internet. I'm like,
did you look at his Instagram? No. Did you look at it? Did you look at the Instagram photo that got taken down off Instagram?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. It goes to his.
That's a piece.
Yeah,
He's got a thing.
It doesn't look as big. It doesn't look as is bigger it than
Derulo. Jason Derulo. Is it Derulo or Derulo?
I have
Derulo?
No idea.
He's a very famous singer. Well, speaking of that penis and cats and jellicles, I want to read to you the best movie review I've ever heard.
You're going to read me the whole thing?
Yes. And this is a review from a legitimate movie reviewer who submitted this to his publisher. And they said, no, we cannot put this up. We will not publish this. So he wrote another one, but he was like, this is my literal actual first review, but my publisher wouldn't let me put it out. But I wanted to share it with the world. And so I'm going to read it to you right now. When I was 13, my parents started breeding cats, Burmans, Seal Point Burmans to be precise. I would wake and be surrounded by cats and all that the cat life entailed. Kitten cats, male cats, female cats, cat cages, cat shows, cat breeding. Always the breeding. The eternal life cycle of the cat burned into my retinas. The yowling, the prowling, the fucking. When I was 25, I hung out with some furries in Hamilton. Charming folk. I really like them. Love Disney films. Adored My Little Pony. They got turned on by putting on dog suits, fox suits, cat suits, adults, all yowling, prowling, fucking. I'm 37 now. I've just seen Cats, the movie. I've never seen the stage show, but I know the songs. I get the gist. Big songs, big numbers. This film is something else. I am 13 again. I am 25 again. I am at my parents' house, hearing cats fuck. I'm watching a furry put on a cat suit. I'm watching Idris Elba nude as a cat, his ass sticking out. I'm watching all the cats, legs constantly spread, gyrating, grinding, growling, yowling, prowling, fucking. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is what death feels like. This is the worst ketamine trip. This is the CGI from Scorpion King. I don't know if I'm 5 minutes in or 5 hours. Nothing makes sense anymore. This is the death of all things. Fuck it.
Wow.
That is like what every single review was like that came out for that movie.
Yeah.
And it's starting to take on a legit, like, The Room style cult hit classic.
Wow. Because it's so bad.
Yes, because it's so next level. Yeah.
I'm looking at it on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's got 20%.
Oh, man.
But it's got some, like, big names in it, right?
Are you kidding me? It has
everybody?
Everyone is in it. Judy Dench is in it. Idris Elba.
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
Jennifer Hudson.
What's his name? James Corden.
Taylor Swift. Yep. Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. They're all in it.
Oh, wow.
Yowling, prowling, fucking.
I think that might be
the title.
The title of this episode.
Yeah, sweet. Great. Yowling, prowling, fucking.
I like prowl.
How do we get here? I feel like I'm on ketamine right now. This is how.
Speaking of ketamine,
how out of it I am.
I was just taking a walk. I love Los Angeles. I should just say I love the city.
Me too.
I love Southern California.
Yeah, me too.
I love Southern California so much. While we were driving down the coast, I remembered. So this Jody who I spoke about earlier, we went on the first time I was in California was a trip with her. Actually, that's a total lie. But anyway, we had always dreamed in high school about going to California. And when I was driving down the coast this time, I was struck by how much the images of California were like to me at 16 years old. Like the picture of freedom.
It's the Goonies, man.
It's just like this sun-kissed, but washed out, sepia-toned place.
Yeah, it's the feeling that you get when you first watch the Goonies. That's what driving down the number one coastal highway is.
It's epic.
It's like you are a coming of age tale. You're hitting the credits of your coming of age tale movie that you just lived. And like that, it was the first time I ever cried, from just a visual landscape. Was coming around a corner on the coastal highway and seeing that big bluff with like those big jagged fucking stones
sticking
coming
out of the ocean.
Yeah, that was the first time
it's prehistoric.
Got
like it.
Teary-eyed from just a sight.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
That being said, there's a lot of human feces on the sidewalks
here.
There's
poop. There's a poop problem here.
And it's interesting because it's obviously human poop because there's toilet paper usually next to it with poop on it.
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
I understand. You want to wipe your ass after you poop.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I've been living in a van now for a month.
Right.
I could, you know, it was brutal coming through Canada, living in a van. It was undoable. But living in a van in Southern California is like, I get it. It's so wild that it's like illegal. Like a lot of bylaws are against living in your vehicle. It makes it's blowing my mind right now because...
Yeah, what? Why is that? Why don't they want you to do that?
I think they think it's going to like give way to like vagrancy. And for sure, right. like a lot of people live in their cars because...
Just turn into bedlam.
Well, yeah. I mean, but yeah. a lot of people live in their cars who are below the poverty line or whatever. And you can like, you can get a vehicle. Well, you can get a vehicle for like $500, but you can get like a vehicle for $100,000 and yeah. you can buy a house. You can't buy a house. You can buy a vehicle, but you can't buy a house,
right.
you know?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And to then not allow people to like sleep in their vehicles in like, I don't know. Designated places, sure.
What was that guy? What was that guy that's sent all those mail bombs?
I don't know.
The Unabomber. What was his name?
I feel like the Unabomber gets credited for a lot of things that the Unabomber never did.
He wrote a manifesto, and like one of the big lines in his manifesto was like, "Why the fuck do we stop at red lights when there's no one around?"
That was his beef. Yeah. That's why he blew things up.
Yeah, man.
But Theodore John Kaczynski.
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski. Yeah, his whole point of being like, we're all just cogs in this machine, and we don't make our own choice. I mean, the guy was obviously fucking crazy. He was mailing bombs, but there were some things that he said that I was like, yeah, why do I stop at the red light at 2 a.m. in the morning when there's mm-hmm. no one else around?
Yeah.
I just do it because I'm told to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I live in my van that has a bed and, yeah. and a heat source
yeah.
and a nice little fridge sweet, soothing music?
A lot of them have contained bathrooms.
Why can't I do that?
Ours does not, and as of yet, I have not had to.
Well, it's because we don't want
defecate outside.
Yeah, good, and that's why
I pee in a jar. I'm not gonna lie, pee in a jar or pee outside on the ground.
You're asking to get arrested,
but
you fucking vagrant.
But I think you know, I have luckily never been in the experience where I'm in a place where there's no bathroom and I can't hold, like can't deal with it. I've been very close.
Oh, what?
But
God, I wish I could say that.
What? Very clear that you haven't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and when it's coming.
It's coming out.
It's coming out.
It's weird too, living in a van. We have running water, but obviously limited.
You have running water in the van?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to hook it into something?
A pump.
So you have to be hooked into a source.
It's powered by the solar.
But do you have a tank? That's on the van. That's that housing water. But or do you need the water? Do you need to be hooked into a water source?
No, we have two. We have holding tanks for water.
Whoa, yeah. Crazy! Yeah. Man, what a fucking sweet little rig.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. But like, it doesn't. It's not a ton of water, and so like, you still has to be really well rationed. But there's no shower. We don't have a shower hooked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But that is the one thing too that it's like, I really notice that. Yeah. Sexy time can sometimes be like, I feel gross.
Yeah, it's like festival fucking.
Right, yeah.
The good thing about festival fucking is generally you're high. Not sober. So you're like, I don't care.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. Cool. Well, what else do you want to talk about? There was I definitely wanted to mention that online sex worker who raised all that money for Australia.
Yeah.
God, Australia, you know, I know we got some fans over there, and we're really feeling for you and rooting for you. And
what's going on?
Just hang in there. I've been trying to avoid the news, so I don't know what's going on currently, if it's getting better. I know that they got some rain the other day, but
okay.
Anyway, world's a burning.
Yeah. So I've been seeing billboards all over California trying to raise money for Australia. So hopefully you guys are feeling the love.
You got a brain boner there?
I sure do, actually, from Australia. How about that?
How about that?
Okay. So this one's back from October. I won't use your name. Welcome to use my first name if this ever goes to the podcast. Well, there you go. So, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, good day, mate. Elizabeth from down under.
Why is it okay for us to do that, but not to... I guess you somebody recently sent an email about your sexy speaking Spanish.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Damned.
I don't get the whole racist thing when you do other languages. Language is funny to me.
Yeah.
I know that there's some Chinese guy over in China trying to impersonate me, and I'm not mad at it. I think it would make me laugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear from this bloke down under.
Okay. Oh, this is from Elizabeth. This is a lot to unpack, so strap in.
Okay.
I am a 27-year-old pansexual woman, happily married, living in Bargo, New South Wales, Australia. My husband and I are in a monogamous marriage. We are both overweight and starting to change our lifestyles, both mentally and physically, not only for ourselves, but for each other.
Nice.
One of our problems we have is sex, or making fuck, as you love to call it. I love sex and everything to do surrounding it. If I could, I would have sex multiple times a day. I consider myself pretty vanilla, but totally okay with trying new things. My husband loves sex when it's happening, but rarely ever thinks about sex. We would be lucky to have sex once a fortnight, more likely once a month.
Once a fortnight? What year is this?
Fortnight is 2 weeks.
That sounds like the fantasy book I just started reading.
We have talked openly multiple times about having more sex, but once we... have those conversations, the sex increases to maybe twice that week and then goes back to the regularly scheduled program of once a month. Just so you know, I totally relate to that. Our sexual life was not always like this. When we started dating, we were having sex nearly every day. But once the new relationship energy started to dwindle down, the sex slowed down. At first, I just thought the lack of sex was because we got engaged fairly fast and threw ourselves into wedding planning. But our sex life has never made it back. When we do have sex, it is undeniably incredible. We both love going down on each other, communicate amazingly during sex. I come 9 out of 10 times we have sex. And when it all is said and done, my husband looks at me and says, with joy and pure pleasure, why don't we do this more often? Most times I hear that line and... just giggle it off or say something playful back. But every now and then I blankly think,
what the fortnight?
Of course we should do this more often. Just to give you some backstory about our sexual past, I've only had 3 sexual partners, ex-boyfriend, a one-night stand, and now my husband. I've only ever had male partners, but I know I'm attracted to women and kissed a fair few women. I was my husband's first and only sexual partner and his first and only relationship. So we don't know what he could or would have been with other partners. No one around us is having this issue. My other married friends think I'm living the dream because my husband isn't constantly asking for sex, but it only makes me feel more isolated. I try to get to the root of what it is. I ask him if he thinks he's asexual. He does not think he is. Is it lack of sex drive due to anxiety, hormonal issues, self-confidence issues due to being overweight? We are currently talking to our family doctor on what may be the medical reason for this issue. If it was only just a pleasure thing, I wouldn't care so much because he doesn't care if I masturbate. Or we could talk about our opening our relationship. We have tried all the stupid spicing up your sex life tips and all or most have had us in fits of laughter. The hard part is trying to get pregnant if you're only having sex once a month. We've been trying to conceive for over a year now, and this is where the lack of sex is starting to stain us and our relationship. We both really want kids and both want to try to conceive our own children. We have talked about adoption, but that is the next step if we can't conceive or if I'm the issue of not being able to fall pregnant. But he shies away from talking about whether he is the issue or if we can't get pregnant. The best way we all know to get pregnant is by having sex. Our doctor told us the best chance for us to conceive is to have sex every day or every other day. This is where we get frustrated. We both want and need to have sex to make a baby, but it still isn't happening. Trying to have sex for functionality has been difficult and makes us want to have sex less. We have put our baby making on hold to reset our sex life, but it all just feels so disconnected. We want children so bad, and I know I'm only young, but with my family history of cervical issues and early menopause, I'm afraid if I leave it too long, I won't be able to have my own children or give ourselves a fair chance. Would love your thoughts or opinion on our situation and happy to keep you updated on our making fucking to make a baby.
Hmm. I love that letter.
That's a nice letter.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the, that's a great, very detailed
letter. Yeah. Thank you for writing that. Gosh, I, you know, it's a really tough one because like she loaded up so many potential, reasons that this could be the case, you know, like, is it anxiety induced? Is it
hormonal?
Is it confidence based on the weight? Is he asexual? He doesn't seem to think so, obviously. Mm-hmm. And obviously like there's definitely some exploration that needs to happen there. I'm gonna chime in with maybe a not so like accessible or not so popular route or option to like consider here. But like I was saying earlier, I did a little like solo trip recently out at that cottage.
Yeah.
So I took a bunch of LSD and set an intention to just reflect on what's happening in my life and what kind of changes I'd like to see in my life. And it was a very intense trip. I basically like I opened a portal into space and like it was a and I was fully there and like it was a fully realized hallucination of like, whoa, there's the other side of like another universe, and it was really trippy. Anyway, came out on the other side the next day and felt so refreshed and so like light and new. I fully pressed the reset button.
Cool.
And it was really nice. And since that day, which has been, you know, it's been a few days from then, I've been noticing that I'm using up my time differently throughout the day.
Interesting.
And so when I'm hearing this letter from, what was her name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth here. One of the things that popped into my mind was like, and the reason it popped into my mind is because Nicole, who was a guest on our show, the founder of Girls Who Say Fuck, we did a live show with her. She just wrote an article for Double Blind magazine, which is it's like a psychedelic magazine.
Yeah.
From like a sort of like medicinal purpose type place and like from a design perspective. And anyway, this article that she wrote was titled, "I Love You, Let's Trip Together." Psychedelics help couples work through issues of intimacy and communication. It's a really beautiful article. She wrote it on January 13th. So Nicole Hodges, if you just Googled Nicole Hodges, I Love You, Let's Trip Together, you'll find it. It's on doubleblindmag.com. And it talks about people using things like LSD, mushrooms, MDMA in a sort of therapy-like session together as a couple to kind of tear down walls and break down barriers that have come up in the relationship and to cultivate a more like loving and connected connection with one another. And I'm all about it. Like, I'm so for it. I think it's such a, like, I really do think that psychedelics are, I honestly truly feel like if it was something that we had just incorporated into our everyday life, like us as humans, if it was something that we just like globally accepted, like, oh, we just like,
we do this
once a month. We do this. Like, it's like our religion.
Yeah.
That on the second Sunday of every month, we, everybody in the world takes a dose of psilocybin.
Yeah.
That the world would be a far more like beautiful place.
Yeah.
And so, maybe that's an option. Like, you know, drugs aren't for everybody. So maybe not, but if that is something that is like in your wheelhouse or something that interests you, maybe do a little bit of research and like look at sitting down and taking a night to like set an intention together, an intention of let's explore each other physically and sexually in a way that we are looking to cultivate like a lasting desire or want.
Mm-hmm.
From one another.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that by like getting a bunch of fucking blankets and getting some mood lighting and getting some nice music and some great food and candy and just like all the things that make us feel good and lay together and come up with like, here are the things that we will not be doing sexually. Here are the things that we could maybe try sexually. Let's just see where it goes. And then go on a little trip together and it might be the most uncomfortable fucking thing you've ever gone through in your entire life. But that is, in my experience, and I know that it's not myself, but like most people's experience on the other end of that discomfort, when you come out of the high, you are so much better off for it.
Mm.
And you've like learned so much from it.
Yeah. If you're taking a reasonable dose, like there's, you know,
don't go overboard.
No, because I'm just thinking of like trips I've had. I've never taken LSD, but like I've really enjoyed mushrooms. I've also taken too many mushrooms, you know?
Right, also, but the times you've taken too many mushrooms, those were not like, those were like, hey, we're at a party. As opposed to like, oh, we are in a very confined, closed off, safe, warm, comfortable space, and we're not leaving that.
Yeah, I think totally. And I think MDMA has also been used quite a bit in couples therapy, those are great options. There's actually, it's funny because I have bookmarked a couple of New York Times articles to talk about in a little bit, but there is one in the New York Times that it says how LSD saved one woman's marriage and might be worth checking out.
Send that to me. I'd love to read that.
Yeah, it's doesn't talk so much about their sex life. It just talks about her mental health. But I'll send that to you for sure, and I'll put this in the show notes as well.
One of the reasons why I thought about that was I was thinking about him in this, and when she laid out like, could it be this, could it be that, could it be like, could it be his self-confidence issues, could it be his anxiety, could it be I find that like when you go on this like intention setting trip of my headphones died, I thought everything crashed but it didn't, when you go on this intention setting trip, I've lost everything I was about to say.
For him. You were thinking about it for him, if it is a self-confidence issue.
Oh, right. going through that experience, even just alone, is a wonderful opportunity to, like, whatever walls you've built up in your life that are affecting you in a negative way, as long as you're, like, looking for it and you're actually with, like, intention setting, like, trying to find those things that are not serving you in your life, it's a great way to rip that shit down.
Right.
You know?
Is that what's meant by the doors of perception? Is that the, that's an LSD. I'm going to look it up. Yeah, like, just anything, like, drugs, plant medicines, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, are really good, I think, for, giving you a new perspective.
Yeah, big time. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Yeah. The Doors of Perception is a book by Aldous Huxley, elaborating on a psychedelic experience under the influence of mescaline.
Yeah, ketamine.
Ketamine, right.
Wait. No, ketamine and mescaline are different. Are they not?
I have no idea.
Yes, they are.
It's hallucinogenic effects comparable to those of LSD and psilocybin.
Mescaline is different than ketamine.
Naturally occurs in the peyote cactus.
Yeah, peyote, that's right. That little booby plant.
Is it a booby plant?
Yeah, it looks like this little, like, I don't know, this little frumpy boob that grows out of the ground.
A frumpy boob.
Yeah.
Mm.
It looks like a boob. If there were Dr. Seuss boobs, that's what peyote plants look like to me.
I don't. Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little, like, frumpy Dr. Seuss boobies.
They look like little mushrooms.
Nah.
Well, fine. Frumpy boobs. It is.
Maybe that's the title of this episode.
So the part I wanted to address is like the libido thing, the difference in sex thing. The reason I paused while I was reading that, I said I can totally relate, is, like, I've been having conversations my whole adult life with sexual partners, long-term sexual partners, of, like, what happens to my libido. It always seems to be, the conversation always seems to center around
you.
Well, me, and I don't have, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know. I'm on a lifetime, like, of working on that.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, I'm always looking for answers. And I'm always looking for, like, methods and ways to, like, work on myself. And I don't know the answer to these things. Honestly.
I think it's probably different for everyone.
I think it's,
I know that for me, having sex with other people makes me more horny to have sex with my significant other.
Right.
Like, having casual sexual encounters with other people makes me want it more with my partner.
Right.
I fucking have no idea why that is. I have no idea what that actually is. But every single time I come out of that scenario being like, oh, man, I can't wait to be intimate.
Huh. Well, I don't know. Hmm. But
have you found any, you said you're on the search and you've been on the search for a long time. Like, what are the things?
I'm just going to go on a little rant here. I am zeroing in on this masculine feminine speak on the stuff that John Wineland is teaching and talking about, and the stuff that his teacher is speaking and talking about.
Right.
And I have been, like, wanting to dig in. Like, we talked about it in the spring. We watched that video called What Men Crave, and it totally sent us down this rabbit hole, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And then when I found out that sort of, like, this guy's, John Wineland's teacher, David Data, has this book. He's got a bunch of books that are all about, like, the balance of the masculine and the feminine. Not the man and the woman, but the masculine and the feminine in me personally.
Yeah.
And in everybody. And in how, like, a sexual tension requires polarity. So like a strong feminine and a strong masculine, nothing right. to do with gender, but and that you need that for the sexual polarity, to for the sexual attraction. And I don't know. You know what? Who the fuck knows? It might. It's just like. Might just be a framework of philosophy that really works for me.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of it. And then Todd actually got one of his books for Christmas from a family member. From a family member. It's called The Way of the Superior Man, which is a very evocative title.
Yeah.
But
we've talked about it on this show before.
Yeah. And I read the preface or the first chapter and I was like, okay, this isn't written to me. This is written to the man, and his preface does say when I wrote this, the conversation was a little different, the climate. So it's very written as in the man and the woman,
yeah,
or the masculine and the feminine, but often uses he and she and more gendered language. But I think I think it's evolved and can be applied if you can. You put on the filter of okay, it's in gendered language, but it applies to whatever. You know what I'm trying to say?
Applies to non-binary.
Humans. Exactly.
Man, woman, trans, the whole.
Yeah. I feel that. I'm only me. But
I think a lot of this, we feel that way so easily because of our theater training.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of our theater training was indeed that.
Well, it's archetypal.
Yeah.
There is something really archetypal about it.
And the archetypes, although they seem or look or sound like it is particularly
that masculine honed into
one particular, yeah, exactly, yeah, one particular gender, it's like, well, no. This applies to any and all of you in this room right now.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter where you're coming from or what your background is or what you identify. You can pluck any of these out of the toolbox.
Yeah.
You know?
So for example.
Which is maybe why it's a lot easier for us to digest that versus maybe somebody else.
Right. Got it. It's so funny too, coming to California and I'm looking for guests and I'm looking at who's talking about sex and sexuality and no one's, everyone's accessible in a way, but no one sort of seems to be bothered with the conversation of I'm not talking about the sex educators, but I'm talking about the sexologists and things like that, who are they're not prefacing everything they say with let me explain what I mean by masculine and feminine. I don't mean the gender. I don't mean they kind of just forge ahead, assuming that we can all get on board.
And if you're not on board, then see you later.
Right.
Yeah.
So Todd has almost read this entire book.
Does he like it?
He likes it.
Well, maybe I'll borrow it from him.
He's really into it. He's recommended it to a couple of his guy friends already.
Cool.
And I'm going to say things are
heating up.
Yeah.
The heat block.
It's really
the flux capacitor is kicked back in.
And a listener wrote into me to say, David Data, the writer of this book, has also one written to the feminine, called Dear Lover, which I'm gonna fucking find and read for sure. It's just one of those things where you're like, you know, when you read something, you're like, oh, this isn't new information. This is just something that I've
already known, and I'm just, yeah.
I'm uncovering again.
Yeah.
It feels, at first I was like, I think when I was trying to explain it to him in my very limited experience, he's like, I think it's just like you're overcomplicating it. And then, but it actually feels so simple.
Right.
And so pure, but you know, whatever. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. So I'm just talking out of my butt.
That's what it's like when you do fucking psychedelics.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I was laying there looking at into the unit portal into the other universe.
Yeah.
And I was going, of course. Of course. There's so much time in the day. What are you talking about? You're too busy. What are you talking about? You know, there 1 hour is so many. There's so much time to do all the things you got to do. And then I woke up the next day and I was like, I'm going to
have all the time in the world.
I have all the time in the world. I'm gonna take my time to clean the kitchen. You know, like move slowly through that. And it's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't have to rush through everything.
Interesting.
That kind of stuff.
So let me give you a little bite of like this concept of the masculine and the feminine. He says the masculine energy is like pure consciousness, that's all I can think of. And that feminine energy is purely love. And so the feminine is the fluid and the flowing and the like emotion and the, right, and the flitting from like one thing to the next. A flitting is like
the fluting and the flatting,
but like the flow. Yeah. And then the masculine is like the rooted, the still,
right,
the structure. And I'll tell you, like, I think a lot of what throws off my libido, in quotes, is fighting. Relationship fighting.
Yeah.
Once you start like fighting with a lover like once a week or once every 2 weeks.
It's the worst.
That is the last person I want to fuck.
Oh, for sure.
I hate that person.
Yeah, me too.
It's not nice to say, but it takes me a while, like maybe a couple of days to like, of work, of me going, yeah.
Because the idea,
you love this person.
Yeah, the idea of sex with that person is like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't want to be vulnerable to you.
Yeah, I don't want to give you the satisfaction, motherfucker.
Well, it sounds different in my mind. It's like, I don't want to surrender my body to you. Right. And one of the things that David Data, I think, is saying that I'm hearing regurgitated is that in conflict, when it's all emotion from your more feminine partner, and you tend to be like the masculine, if you go down the rabbit hole of like rising emotion, like rising like heat, where you're, you know, like yelling at each other, and you're not able to like be still and like hold the space for the person who's expressing their feminine, then if you can do that and be still and love that person while they're, you know, like while they're
riled up,
then you can transform that energy into something that is just like
into boners.
Way more getting you blown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man, I get it because, Beck and I went through this the other day, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. My birthday.
You went through it?
We went through this exact thing.
Right.
What you just described.
Right.
It was my birthday.
Yeah.
And I said, someone in particular is going to be there. And she got like,
pissed.
Yeah. She was like, why? Why do they need to be there? Like, this is, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And usually I would be like, my reaction would be like, oh my God, it's not a fucking big deal. Can we get over it? Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But instead it was, the reaction was like, here's why. And here's why literally does not matter for me or for you. Yeah. And here's why, like, we are going to, it's going to be the best night of our year.
Yeah.
And one of our last nights together. Yeah. And it's us. And like, it was just like a very, like, instead of getting hot and like, like frustrated and like, and fluty and fliffly and flaffly, I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to be a weighted blanket here.
Right.
And just squeeze you just enough that it's not smothering you.
Just to cut off a small amount of oxygen.
And just let you know that everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you can be frustrated and you can be angry and you can be jealous and upset. It's not going to change the way I feel, everything's okay. So we're all good. And it was like the first, because like, you know, sometimes we fight a lot.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in a long time where it was like, it just the whole thing quelled like that.
Oh, that's a nice feeling.
And yeah, and it was just like the most loving.
So imagine this. Imagine like your partner says something that really offends you.
Yeah.
Or me. And I start to get like, well, I didn't like the way you said that, and it hurt my feelings, and it made me feel this.
Yeah.
And then I start getting really emotional, and then my partner says, you're really cute when you get mad.
Yeah, right.
Then
right.
you just go, shut up. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're friends again. Yeah, and it's moving, and it's way more... Yeah, it's way more sexy.
Hmm. Interesting.
So anyway, back to your yeah, when it comes to libido, I don't know how to speak to you about the libido thing.
I'm still on
the hunt.
We're still on
the question.
Question? My God. Fuck.
But
I think I'm still high on acid.
I have been investigating a little bit about this fertility thing with this other podcast that I produce called I Hear You. It talks about
you got to get on your back, throw your legs up in the air, and you got to get someone to come over to your heels and double bounce your heels like they're trying to double bounce basketballs.
Uh-huh.
And you got to let your knees be loose so that your knees kind of like wobble and bounce.
It just helps the sperm shimmy its way up to the...
Yep, you're basically just bouncing your ovaries.
If you...
Your uterus. Or sorry, your... Where do they go?
They go toward
the sperm
go into the uterus and some up the fallopian tubes often too.
Yeah. So you're bouncing the fallopian tubes and the uterus.
Yeah. Okay. So
more of a jiggle, but yeah. Anyway,
I think that's all fake news. But for fertility awareness, your doctor said to your best bet of getting pregnant is having sex every other day. And I don't
that
feel
sounds
like
crazy.
That's not very productive advice.
What are they doing? What kind of doctors you got in Australia? That sounds...
I think...
Isn't it a little more scientific than that?
Yes. There are certain times of the month when you're more fertile
others. It's like the day before you start bleeding?
Well, it's different for everybody.
Right.
And so that's the big thing. Because a lot of like birth control pills and a lot of things research has given us the impression that our cycles are like 28 days and day 14 is when you ovulate and 2 days on the other side of that is like when you can get pregnant, but it's different for everybody.
Isn't there like a thing where you stick your finger in and you like you swipe the cervix and if there's like a sticky goopy stuff on it, then it's like, then it's time to shoot?
Wow.
Seminal fluid.
Wow.
Is that it?
No. Cervical fluid.
What's seminal fluid?
From its semen.
Oh, yeah, right. So, okay, but what am I thinking of? Isn't there
a
sticky cervix?
Yes.
That you want to hit it?
Please stop talking so I can... You're fucking it up. Fertility awareness method.
Right.
It's kind of a... You kind of have to... If you want to use it as a form of birth control or as a way to get pregnant, you have to kind of track it for a bit. And what it requires is taking your temperature at the same time from like the minute you wake up when you're still at rest.
Your temperature?
Every day.
Like out of your mouth or in your vagina?
Or your butt.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So like the typical ways.
Not the vaginal temperature.
Okay.
Take your temperature every day at the same time of day when you're at rest. So basically set your alarm for like 6 a.m. If you get up at 6 a.m., hold that thermometer, whatever. You got to track that. You also can track your cervical fluid, which is what you're talking about.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Cervical, basically your discharge, right?
Right.
There is a way, and I don't know this, but that you're basically testing the viscosity. So you're like pinching it between your fingers, pulling it apart. How viscous is your
cervical fluid?
I don't know the facts on this, but I do have a great resource for you, which I will tell you after this in a minute. And the other one is the position of your cervix. Now, I don't know how the fuck you check the position of your cervix, but
pelvic floor physio probably.
You can get up there with your fingers and apparently like feel it does change based on time of the month.
All right. But is this like some hippy dippy shit?
No. This is legit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Legit.
All right. Cool.
that, and then you can tell based on your cervical fluid and your temperature. Like your temperature goes up a couple points when you're ovulating. Those are the best times
to come in.
Yep.
So you would look, if she wants to look into this, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She would Google fertility awareness method.
Okay, and cool. You can get somebody local to help walk you through that. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be it's not hippy dippy. Like, it's a legit thing, but you are not going to probably get any validation from it from your general practitioner. In most cases, I would say you're probably going to have to go to
your local witch doctor.
Well, no, but a naturopath or someone who practices,
same thing,
a herbalist or whatever. Okay, Jeremy.
I'm joking.
You're going to need to maybe go see some alternative/complementary health.
Right.
If you want an alchemist. If you want to go down that route. But for sure, hormones and all kinds of things can affect your fertility.
Yeah,
to be investigating that.
That whole
for sure.
Fuck every other day. That sounds.
Well, when you're not fucking
once
you're fucking once a month, that's an unrealistic goal.
Yeah, and also I also should say just in case, I don't know, you could say that to somebody, and I'm sure that would work.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many people out there that are just fuck, I got pregnant again.
Yeah,
didn't mean to, didn't want to, you know. And then there's the people that really try and can't.
Yeah,
so. You know, fucking every other day without a condom. Well,
yeah,
your chances are probably higher for sure.
Yeah, that's out there.
But also, if you're really, really trying, I like what you were just talking about. There's definitely methods or ways that are, far more exact than just get nut in every 48 hours.
Yep. So. I don't know.
That was a long brain burner.
Take some drugs and or go see a witch doctor. And that's our advice this week. But actually,
I'm sure we'll get an email about someone's offended by the advice we just gave.
We did not do a good job. But I'm going to also, as a part of my advice, but also as a part of my Just the Tips recommendation.
Oh, yeah. I got one, too.
So my Just the Tips recommendation is a Netflix show called Sex Explained.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
It is six episodes or something. I started at episode number 3 because the first one was kink and the other one was something else.
Oh, it's a series.
It's a series, yeah.
Oh, I thought they just did a one-off episode of Explained.
It is a great resource.
Oh,
they have one on fertility, which you should everyone... should fucking watch.
Cool, okay.
Everyone should watch this. It is... I didn't watch the first two episodes because the titles didn't intrigue me. I did.
What were they? Who cares? Whatever.
But the one on fertility was I watched it twice in a row.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, it was so informative and... clear and accessible.
Do they get into fertility method? Do they get into the fertility awareness method or whatever it is called?
Can you ask that question again?
Do they touch on the thing we were just talking about?
Fertility awareness method? Yeah, I think they talk about the discharge and they talk about all that kind of stuff.
Neat.
So sexual fantasies was the first one. Attraction was the second one. I just went right to birth control because they definitely talk about fertility awareness method in birth control.
Cool.
And then fertility and childbirth. It's going to...
I do not want to watch that one.
No, you do.
No.
No, I'm telling you.
The childbirth one?
Every person on the planet...
I know how it works.
No, you don't.
Yeah, dude, I do. A human comes out of a human.
You need to watch... This if you feel at all that, let me finish what I'm going to say. I know I can see you getting ready to interrupt me.
Yeah, I'm yawning.
You need to, you need to watch this, especially if you're I'm totally blanking on this. If you're a cisgendered male, need to watch this.
Okay,
this is like the sex education that we all deserved and none of us got.
I did watch a video of a woman giving birth.
It doesn't teach you the shit. It doesn't teach you about the way that society shapes the way we're doing certain things, right. And it's totally fucked.
No, I want to watch it. I want to listen. Don't paint. You're painting me as someone who's. I want to watch it. I just have a hard time with babies coming out of orifices. I can't even watch a giraffe.
There's a lot of birth giving in that episode.
I cannot watch it. I cannot even look at a fucking like zoo animal.
Then you should not. Well, no, you won't be getting anyone knocked up.
Exactly. I'm not going to be fucking doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, it's making my hands weak right now. It's just all the fluid and like.
The bursting open.
Yeah.
Of the...
Yeah. There's a video. There's a on Nature's Metal right now. There's a photo of a zebra that got his gut bit off by a crocodile.
His gut
bit off by a crocodile. And he's running. He got up to run away and all of his organs fell out of the gut hole.
Fuck off.
And that, when I look at that, I go, oh, God. And that's the same feeling I get when I see a baby coming out.
It's similar.
Yes, man.
Okay, what's your just the tips?
I've been watching The Servant, M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. And there's a brief moment where they show the character giving birth to a baby in a bathtub in the living room. Like full on Tara mode.
Yeah.
And it just fucking gutted me. Oh, man. It's all the screaming, all of it. It's just like, it's so primal and just makes me.
It's so primal.
It just, it triggers my fight or flight. Anyway, my just the tips is a, so I started, remember how my New Year's resolution was to read my height in books this year?
Oh, yeah.
So
did you get that from Nicole as well?
I don't think so, but she does do that.
Yeah.
She does do that.
It's just that you're the only two people that I've ever heard of.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm so in love with her, man. Fuck. I wish she was in love with me the way I'm in love with her.
She's not.
But I don't think I got it from her. But maybe I did. Anyway. Thank you, Nicole. If I did get it from you, I'm going to try to be more like you because I think you're so cool. So I started reading a book, and I started reading a book that is the largest book I've ever read in my entire
you're
life.
Like, how am I going to knock this goal out of the park? Well, I'll just find the thickest book.
They got to be minimum 750 pages. So I'm reading this book. It was a recommendation from a friend of mine, Dave Culligan. We have very similar tastes in things that we like. And so he was like, dude, there's this book. It's a fantasy book. And I'm more of like a sci-fi kind of dystopian type guy. But I do love fantasy in my video games. And I do love watching fantasy big time. And he was like, it's not like high fantasy. It's more like medium fantasy. It's like first season of Game of Thrones. Where there's like talk of dragons and talk of magic, but they don't really go into it. And then, you know, the last episode, you're like, whoa, she just walked into a fire and came out with dragons on her shoulder. Like, and they kind of like nail it at the end. So this book is kind of like that, where it's like the idea of magic exists, but it's more of like in stories. And does it really exist? It's hard to say. Clearly it does, but it's more like lore within the lore of this world. Anyway, the book is called The Name of the Wind, and I'm 100 pages in. My goal is to read 20 pages a day so I can finish it in 33 days. So I'm trying to get it done in about a month. And I am so fucking into this book.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know if, because I don't read, I haven't legit sat down and read a book in years. It's like 3-4 years. And so I forget how much I love reading books. But when I'm reading this book, I'm like, I had to Google it to be like, is this book astoundingly good? Like, is this a really well-written book? Or have I just forgotten how, like, the pleasure of reading? and that feels really good. Well, I looked it up, and it's like, it
an excellent
book. Oh yeah, people are just like, this book is fucking amazing.
Yeah, which means it's gonna be a movie someday.
Yeah, so it's a part of a trilogy.
Okay,
and it's
three books that are that thick.
Yeah, dude.
You're going to be halfway done.
Exactly. It'll be right up to my hip by the time I'm done the trilogy. but I love it so much. The characters that I've come across so far are so funny, so charming. Some of the books really fucking terrifying. It's just like, and when I'm reading it, you literally feel like you're watching this movie. It's so well described, the emotions that people are having while they're having like discussion. It makes me feel like I'm reading a Quentin Tarantino script.
Oh, cool.
Like it's that well written. Anyway.
Who's it by?
By Robert. He's got a weird name, a weird last name.
I'll put this in the show notes too.
The Name of the Wind by Robert Rothfuss, but I'm wondering if it's like Rothfuss. Rothfuss? Rothfuss?
Oh,
Rothfuss. The one thing about the book that's driving me nuts, and it took me a bit to like start reading it, is that all these names in the book they're all these made up like high fantasy names.
I have a hard time
and
with
I'll
that.
Just stop and I'll go Quoth? Quoth? Kvoth? Like, I can't. I'm like, what is the? How do I pronounce this fucking name? It's the main character of the book.
Yeah.
I've settled on Quoth.
Quoth.
Quoth. It's spelled K V O T H E.
Quoth.
But it's written, spelt, it's written, pronounced similar to Q U O T H E. Quoth.
Quoth. All right.
Quoth?
Quoth?
Quoth. Anyway, I love the book so far. I'm only 1/6 of the way through.
Is there any sex in it?
There's going to be love, I think, at some point. I mean, right now, he's just a little boy.
It's hard to have a story without love in it.
Yeah, there's going to be love, I think. But it's, yeah, that's my Just the Tips. Babe, this has been a long...
long episode?
It's been a long, long host episode. Let's call it.
You want to call it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do it.
I'm exhausted.
You're jet lagged. I feel awesome.
Brady feels great.
It's 7:45. That's my bed. 8 o'clock's my bedtime. So I better brush my teeth.
But we got a big week ahead. Really excited for some of these conversations, all of these conversations, and
which means so many exciting episodes coming at you weekly for the next.
So if this one just didn't really sit well with you because we were all over the fucking map.
Thanks for coming on the ride with us.
Thanks for coming on that weird ride. so thank you all so much for listening. We love each and every one of you. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting Bridie on her journey along the way.
Thank you so, so, so much. I'm so moved by it.
That's really sweet.
I feel so grateful and like the luckiest person in the world to get to talk to you every week.
We will be back next week, but in the meantime, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, a review, hit the subscribe button.
I feel like it's the new year and a lot of folks might just be tuning in for like the first time in January.
God, like, I hope this wasn't the first episode that you tuned into.
Welcome to Turn Me On Podcast.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Yep, and so do that. Go leave a review and go to patreon.com/turnmeon.
Yep.
We've got some fun stuff over there, some really interesting reads from Bridie. And to all of our patrons who have been supporting us so far, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I know
wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for you guys.
100% it would not. And I know some people have just signed up on Patreon in the last month. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful.
That is it for this week.
It sure is, baby.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.